Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
What a stunning day already in the house of God. Look at all you beautiful people. You got up in the morning, you got ready, and here you are, just all stunning. Well done. Give yourselves a high five for being here. And go ahead and take a seat. Beautiful Pam Strickler, you're here this morning. My heart is full. I tell you, we've got just the best people in our church. I was looking around, and speaking of beautiful, Bree, is that a new hairdo? Stand up, Bree. Just stand up for a moment. Look how stunning she is. I turn around, I'm like, who is that goddess? It's Bree. Speaking of goddesses, I heard that Church Unplugged was stunning. Beautiful Gladys and Emma. I tell you what, there is some liberation and freedom in this house. And I know that we're going to experience that this morning. And I'm just so grateful to be here. I just so thank Pastors Jürgen and Leanne for having a vision and following it through along with Jesus. And I'm so grateful for our campus pastors, Pastors Drew and Emma. Let's give them a round of applause. It's fun to do ministry alongside beautiful, wonderful people. And as I was preparing the message today, honestly, I had so many downloads from God. I was like, I don't know which way to go. It was so many things. So just fasten your seatbelt this morning. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to just help me to minister this morning and go where I feel that He leads me. And we're going to have a great day. So I'm going to pray and we're going to get into it. God, oh God, Lord, I just thank You. I thank You that You're here. And that where You are here, Father, You bring liberation. You bring freedom. So, Lord God, I thank You for every person that is here today. I pray that they would hear of You, Jesus. Lord, that it would not be my words, but it would be Yours spoken through me this morning. Lord, I pray for clarity of thought. And I pray, God, the revelation You've given me would translate and to each and every person that is here this morning. Lord, we give this time over to You, Father. We thank You for it. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're in a series, Accelerate. And I have felt this word for a bit of time, so I've been kind of just working it out. But the title of my message this morning is called Be Big. Yeah. Be Big. Now, this is not be big on the outside, in case anyone was wondering. This is all about being big on the inside. I would never preach about getting big on the outside. In fact, I don't receive those words. But I'm going to preach a message this morning called Be Big, and it's all about being big on the inside. How do we become robust as Christians on the inside so that no matter why, no matter how or what circumstances come our way, because the Bible says that things are going to come against us, but that doesn't mean that we need to succumb to those things. There's a way, and I believe that when we get really big on the inside, that we could face anything that comes at us and we can walk right through the valley of the shadow of death and come out not smelling like smoke. As a kid, I remember, you know, because let's be honest, you know, people sometimes will say things that maybe aren't the best intent or, you know, can be mean to us. And that happens as a kid and as an adult. It does. And I remember as a kid when I first moved to Ecuador, my family are missionaries there. And I remember, this is sad, I was thinking about how old I was. I thought I was younger, and I was like, oh man, I was actually a little bit older. This is a funny story. So I was like 11. And I remember when I was there, I had to learn Spanish, learn the culture, learn everything. Didn't know one word of Spanish when we moved to Ecuador. And so my sister and I, we are like super extrovert. We always have been. And so, you know, first chance we got, we would just go out of the house and we go meet people. And I was 11 years old, so I was getting to know everybody in my neighborhood. And every neighborhood in Ecuador had like a central park, and all the kids would play there. Well, there was only one family that was American and that spoke English in that whole neighborhood, and they had 6 boys. And so I was friends, and my sister and I were friends with these 6 boys, and so we did a lot more boy things than girl things because there was more of them than us. And one day we're in the park, and some of the other kids, Ecuadorian kids, started just making fun of us. They were making fun of the way we spoke. They were making fun of us that we were American, all that kind of thing. And then it went from like words to they would like hurdle beetles at us. Like, you guys, I should show you a picture, seriously. They're like ginormous beetles. Like, they're this big. And I can exaggerate, but I'm not exaggerating. And so we got into this like beetle war. And so finally, like throwing beetles at one another. And then all of a sudden I was like, I am done. I'm not gonna be throwing beetles. And so my sister and I, we leave and we go home. And we're telling our parents about this. And my mom is like so beautiful and sweet. And she's like, Stacy, she's like, well, how do you feel? Like, are you okay? Like, that's so mean. Like, they were mean to you. And I remember her telling my mom, I was like, you know what? I feel sad for them. I feel sad that they just missed out on the very best friend they ever could have had. I am so much fun. And my parents, like, my mom was like, self-esteem intact. Noted. As an adult, I remember one time I went to Malaysia went for a conference and then went on vacation. And when I was there, I got to do all these incredible things. And we literally were, a friend of mine kind of hooked us up to stay with this other friend that I think was like the queen of Malaysia. It was like the doors opened up to us. And it was so fun. And we went to all these fun events. And we were at this one event and we were having dinner and it was a bunch of people we didn't know. And I was sitting across from a girl and she was an Indian girl. And so we start talking and she just starts sharing her story and she starts talking about how she, was raised Muslim. And if you in that nation are raised Muslim, like it's against the law to convert. And her mom actually wound up getting saved. And so her mom had gotten saved and began to share Jesus with all of the kids. And she said, you know what? I just knew when I heard, I just knew that Jesus was real. I knew that he was true. She goes, but, you know, and she's like, so I've been a Christian this whole time. She goes, but it hasn't come without persecution. And she's like, you know, I've been, you know, really persecuted. And she's like, you know, you understand you've been persecuted. I'm like, all right. Well, like, what kind of persecution are we talking about here, right? So I'm like, well, what do you mean by persecution? And she's like, oh, you know, like, you know, my dad, he was, you know, really against us because we weren't meant to be a Christian. So if we said anything, he would just fly into these rages and he would beat us up and he would put us in cages. And I'm like, excuse me? Yeah, my idea of persecution was like going to Starbucks and they got the wrong milk. Like, I live in America. And I'm like, what did you just say? Not really, you guys. Don't look at me. I'm not that mean. I'm actually really nice to Starbucks people. But when she's talking about persecution, I'm like, oh my goodness. And she tells this incredible story on her father's deathbed. He actually looked up at her and he actually, on his deathbed, received Jesus because he said this. He said, every time I persecuted you and every time I did horrible things against you, you looked at me with the love that can only be from another place. It has to be from Jesus. So, you know, we go through different types of persecution. Things come against us. But I want to talk about a couple things that are going to help us in life, that no matter what comes against us in word, in deed, we can actually just power right on through. So my first point is point number one, take control of your thought life. Take control of your thought life. Romans 12:2 in the Amplified Version says this, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself, not for anyone else or not to anyone else, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purposes for you. You see, I began to realize that our minds are really powerful. And there's a lot of things we can't control in life, but one that we should control is actually what we do with the thoughts that come our way. And here's the thing, like God made us so different. Like one of the things that makes us different from the animal kingdom, which focuses on instinct, is this thing called inner dialogue, is the fact that we have a thought life. But my question this morning is, who are we attaching our thought life to? See, who is the inner dialogue actually with? So if you stop and think, like right now, you all are having thoughts. You're looking at me going, gosh, her necklace is pretty. Or you're thinking, I have an entire grocery list that I need to get to. Or I don't know, if you're a man, you're thinking about steak or something. I don't know. But you're having, there's an inner dialogue. There's some thoughts. And I want to put it to us today that we've got to choose who we are actually in agreement with. And that we can actually agree and have thought and dialogue with the Holy Spirit. Revelations 2:7 says this, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Spirit speak. What the Spirit says to the churches. What does this mean? I'm pretty sure, I mean, most humans have ears. And yet this says, whoever has ears, let him hear. So of the people that have ears, those of us that can hear, what are we hearing? Who are we listening to? And the Bible says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the spirits can lead us to all kinds of different places. But the one that it says for us to focus on is to the church. Now, who is the church? Matthew 16:18 says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That word in the Greek is ekklesia. Ekklesia is the called out ones. You see, when they're talking about the church, they're talking about you and I as people. And the Bible says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So we have to be able to listen to a spirit that is the spirit that's speaking to us. And the easiest way to tell is it positive? Is it encouraging? Even correction from the Spirit of God feels good. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them into your heart. I think the world has stolen meditation, and they've made it weird. Because when I think about meditation, I got to be honest with you, I kind of think about people hugging trees and not wearing deodorant. But meditation was God's idea. I think that, because sometimes people are like, how do I do this, Stacey? How do I get control over these thoughts that are coming to me? Because how many people know we can't control what's coming, but we absolutely can control what we do with them. And so people ask that all the time, and I want to give you just a secret that the Bible opened up for us in that verse. It's called meditation. A meditation is just this, we quiet ourselves. We're in a fast-paced, fast world. In order to accelerate, we actually have to stop and meditate. What are we actually thinking about? What are we actually dwelling on? And the Bible says to dwell on whatever is good and affirmed by the word of God and let that implant into our hearts. So sometimes all we need to do is just stop and sit and quiet our minds and go, okay, God, what are you speaking to me? And if you begin to hear voices of darkness, of evil, of fear, all you need to go is, no, in the name of Jesus, I will not listen to those things. This is what my Bible. Now, if we want to say this is what my Bible says about me, we got to know a bit of the word of God. So I don't even care this morning if you just choose one verse. Just choose one and meditate on it. Let that be your verse. Let it be your go-to. So when that voice comes, you can go, oh, no, no. My Bible says I do not have a spirit of fear, but one of peace and a sound mind. We need to meditate on the spirit of truth. We are body, soul, and spirit. And here's the thing. I remember I had a guy tell me one time, well, Stacey, you know, your bent is optimism. Your bent is that all things are going to turn out okay because you had a childhood where everything was good. And he said, but not me. My childhood was horrific. And so my bent is fear and my bent is pessimism. And listen, I'm not naive enough to think that everybody grew up in the kind of childhood that I had. I understand I was raised in a Christian home. At 4 years old, I met Jesus. I understood at 4 years old the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit with me as a child. And so I understand that not many people have been given that fortunate opportunity, and that real life has happened to people, and it's happened in our childhood. I get it. But here's the thing about Jesus. This I also know to be true, is that when you meet the Spirit of truth, when you meet Jesus, that your bent can absolutely 100% change. Because the Bible says Jesus heals us. The Bible says he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. And here's the thing about it. We don't pretend that those things didn't happen to us. God doesn't come in and just erase our memory and say, oh no, just stuff it down, pretend like it didn't exist. No, my Bible says that we actually will stop and we face the things that we have been dealt. We face what happened all those years ago. We face the hurt, we face the pain, and we do this. We invite Jesus himself into it, into this situation. And this is what I found. Healing doesn't erase the memory, but it allows the wounds and the words and the damage to heal. The Holy Spirit doesn't just heal memories by erasing the facts. He overwrites facts with truth. Hear me this morning. He overwrites facts with truth. You're like, Stacy, how does that happen? I'm telling you, you get into that quiet place. You begin to meditate on who the Holy Spirit is, and you begin to open up your heart and your mind, and you invite God into that very hurtful, very horrible situation, and you pray to God, and you ask him to come in and to reveal himself. And I'm telling you this, God will give you a picture, a vision. He will give you, he will show you the actual truth behind the whole story, that he was there, that he loves you, that when you cried, he cried. And that there's a better future for you than what just happened to you. See, God is with us when we invite him in. This is so important to me because even though I had a beautiful childhood, I've gone through stuff. I get it. I had a couple of years ago a series of events that shook me to the core. In a very short amount of time, like within a month, my aunt had unexpectedly passed away of cancer, had no idea that she was like really sick, and then she was gone. My mother was diagnosed with cancer. My house that I had bought, we found out there was an illegal deed, lease, what is it? There you go, lien. And thanks friends for knowing my story. There was an illegal lien on my house that I had no idea about, that some, you know, lawyer and the representative had put in with all this verbiage and made it sound like I was getting a grant, but it wasn't actually the case. And so that threatened to basically, when I sold the house, to have absolutely no profit. While I found that out, I had probably the biggest breakup of my adult history. And so I was in relational pain. I was looking at finance and looking at those things. I was looking at my family who had been the source of, you know, hope and love, and seeing my mom having to deal with, you know, fighting these things. And it all happened in this short amount of time. But I got to tell you, I thank God that on the inside of me, there was a thought life. And I'm telling you, it was challenging. Oh, did I want to just crawl into my house and just go under the carpet and like never come out? Absolutely, I had those thoughts. But I also had other thoughts. And I decided to attach myself to the thoughts that were true to the Word of God. Whether I felt them, whether I was totally believing them, I just went, no, I will attach myself to the voice of truth. And I am telling you, my healing didn't have to take years. You know, I look at that situation, I think, oh my gosh, any one of those things could take somebody out. But I'm telling you, it was shortly lived, because my God is so good that he will heal us from the inside out. And though he didn't erase what happens, he showed me the truth of those situations, that he saved me, that he's for my family, that tragedy won't take us out. I'm telling you, I got to see the hand of God in liberation and in victory. And that can all be our story with things that we are living through. God actually wants to reveal to us how actually very strong we really are. We are robust Christians. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a robust Christian. So good. Number two, we need to choose to let go and let God. Two, we've got to choose to let go and let God. Ephesians 4, 17, 23 says this. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Interesting word, thinking. Everything can change in our mind. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your desires to be made new in the attitudes of your mind. Do you know that our minds have an attitude? Those attitudes will take us to destinations we never ever dreamed of, bad or good. We got to be careful with the attitude, the state of our mind, that we are dwelling on everything that is good and worthy. And you may be thinking, Stacy, well, this sounds like behavioral correction. Pastor Leanne just preached a whole message that we don't need to behaviorally change, that it's from the inside out. But actually, I'm speaking that same message. Because what I'm talking about is getting close to the Holy Spirit, who will bring you that liberation and freedom, not in our weakness, but in his strength. So this isn't about tweaking all of these things. It's actually just utilizing the authority and the anointing that's already on the inside of us. We just have to activate it. I was watching a movie just recently, and I don't usually watch this kind of movie. It's a little bit slow for my liking, but I just felt God speaking through it the whole time, because it's about a woman who had to make one of those decisions in her life to truly let go of the old and embrace the new and the future that was set for her. And the reason I want to show this is because I think sometimes when we get saved, there's kind of an understanding like, I got to let go of some things. That old way of life is not helping me much. I got to just disconnect, unattach, like all of those things. But I find that actually as Christians, it doesn't stop there. We actually have to choose to be a Christian every day. Oh, we get saved. Our eternity is reconciled the day that we meet Jesus. But I find to be a Christian, to be the called out one, to be the one that Jesus builds upon, to be a Christian, I find that that's actually a decision we have to make over and over and over again. So when I was 4, I got saved. But that's not when all of a sudden my life just turned to roses and butterflies and clouds. I had to face some things. And I think there's many times in our seasons of life where we have to choose again to be a Christian. So take a look at this trailer to a movie that I just watched.
Some of you ask, why did I leave Hollywood? Well, I left because I fell in love with a charming prince. Hitchcock offered me a role.
Were you considering accepting?
I miss it. I can be a mother and a wife and hold down two jobs without the people getting too upset, can't I?
But what about the prince?
What about the prince? The prince is very supportive.
Ray is never going to accept the idea of his princess going back into the movies. You know that, Gracie.
I don't know. It's always politics with him.
Mr. President, I've already given our allegiance.
You wish tax? All of Buttercup.
That's not negotiation. That's extortion.
Have you thought that de Gaulle is looking for any excuse to take Monaco, even if it means turning you against me?
Say nothing, everything you say has consequences.
I don't know how I'm going to keep living with him. I don't know how I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this place where I can't be me.
Who is that?
Hello, Ma.
You're not seriously thinking about coming back, are you? You're not an actress anymore.
Everything I do or say is wrong. Everything.
Why are you still here, Chris?
Because I still love you.
She's meeting with a French private detective.
Family is all that matters. So what did De Gaulle promise you to sell out yours?
Mommy, why are you crying?
If your family is to survive, you need to give them an ideal they can protect. And you need to do it alone.
I think that that's a stunning portrayal. That's actually a true story. The story of the life of Grace Kelly. And Grace Kelly was a Hollywood movie star, and she decided to marry the Prince of Monaco. And as I watched this movie, I just kept hearing the Holy Spirit, because there was a choice for her. You heard it. You even heard the justifications in her language. I can do this, can't I? Can't I go back? She was offered the role of a lifetime. Hitchcock had called her and was like, here's the role of a lifetime, just like Satan comes to us. Right when we're gaining ground, when everything's set up before us, and we start getting these whispers of you know what, do this. And that film was a good thing. It wasn't even a horrible thing, but it was not the God choice for her life, if it was a God story. I don't know if she was a Christian or not, but I'm telling you, that movie reveals something. And in the movie, when I was watching it, there was this sentence, and she finally had made the decision to let go of her history and her past, not go back, not take the role. And she started to learn the culture and the language of Monaco. And she said, I need to learn everything. And so they were telling her, yes, just learn everything so that you can be the princess of Monaco. And she said, I'm not going to be the princess of Monaco. I am Monaco. I want to put it to us, church. We don't attend the church. We are the church. I'm telling you, we are the church. We are Christians. And at different junctures in our life, and I believe there are people here today, and you've got different things that have come up in your world, and you're teetery-tottering between, should I go back or should I stay forward? Should I go back or should I stay? And I'm telling you, under the power of the Holy Spirit, to listen to the voice of truth. To listen to the Holy Spirit who guides you into all truth. And, you know, the beautiful thing, I did a little bit of research because it's a true story, and she stayed married all of her life to that man. And they had a beautiful and stunning marriage. She's renowned as one of the most known beautiful princesses of all time, because she made some internal choices to stick to not what was popular, not what the world would tell you to do, but to do the right thing at the right time. And I think that's just so important for us, is will we follow Jesus when it's difficult? Will we follow Jesus when it hurts? Will we follow Jesus even when we've messed up? You know, Peter in the Bible, he denied Jesus 3 times, but he followed him for the rest of his life. That should give us some hope. You know, in the Bible, there's a moment where Lot's wife has a decision to make to go back. And it was the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was run over with all kinds of perversions, with all kinds of horrible things going on. And it had been decided by God that city, it was going to be done. It was going to be over. And an angel comes to Lot and his wife and tells them to leave and to not look back. Because I think sometimes, isn't that just the case? We begin to kind of just look back. How it was a little bit easier. It was a little bit, and we start to just look back. But as we look back, the devil pulls us back. And this is what the Bible says about Lot and his wife. It says in Genesis 19, 15 through 26, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your 2 daughters, you who are here, and you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his 2 sons and his 2 daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. But Lot said to them, no, my Lord, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it's small. small. Let me flee to it. It's very small, isn't it? And then my life will be spared. He said to him, very well, I will grant this request to you too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Bible says that you and I are the salt of the earth. We're meant to bring flavor to the world, and yet that's where she returned to when she took a look back. I think the devil is cunning, and he does this to a lot in our lives. And I think it's time that we make some choices that no matter what comes our way, we're not going to look back, we're not going to be pulled back, but we're going to make a choice to move forward. One of the best ways I know how to do this, and we're actually having baptisms here tonight. What a great start to let the old go and to let God begin. I came across this verse, and it says this in 1 Peter 3:21 through 22. It says, and this water symbolizes baptisms that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. I don't know about a better verse to describe what happens in the waters of baptism. But to have a clear conscience before God, it doesn't mean that we never sin again, but it means that we're gonna let go of the old, because Jesus died that we could be completely set free. And as we go under the water, as Jesus went to the grave, we then get resurrected with a clear conscience because Jesus paid for it all. Telling you, for some of you tonight, you may need to rethink getting baptized and make a clear decision to let go of the old and to begin the new. My last point is point number 3, and I don't have much time. Are you guys with me? We're doing all right? We'll see how far we get into this. But number 3 is engage with the Holy Spirit. Engage with the Holy Spirit. You see, one thing is the baptism with water, but what about what the Bible talks about as the baptism of the Holy Spirit? See, I don't know any other way to get robust and big on the inside other than to allow the Holy Spirit to break out and break open in my life, to actually invite him in. See, I think many of us get saved and we understand the role of the Father and the Son Jesus who died for us. But when it comes to the church, sadly, not much has been taught about the Holy Spirit. But we're in a different kind of a church. And I so love the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he was sent that he would be with us always. So when we have inner dialogue, we are dialoguing with the Spirit of God himself, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And don't clam up or get all nervous when I start talking about things like this, okay? Some of you feel as soon as I mention like baptism or speaking in tongues, it's like, ah! God's a good, fun God. He gave us some gifts that are pretty awesome that we get to choose to accept or not. I wish that we would accept them. But this is what the Bible says in Acts 1:8, when the power of the Holy Spirit was released and came on people. Because Jesus was ascending to heaven, and he told his disciples, wait to go out into all the world until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, until you are filled with the one whom I am sending. And in the book of Acts, it says this, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. In Acts 2:1 through 4, it says this, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, as it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Can we say all? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, I am telling you this, church. I know that when you read the scriptures, on that day, when the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit had fully come, there was a guy by the name of Peter that was in that house, along with all the people that got filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter, a disciple of Christ, he was there, and that day, after being ministered to by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that he stepped out and he began to speak and he began to minister to the crowd. Now under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, now his words were not just his words. Now he was filled with the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of truth. And he began to speak to all the people that were in front of him. And the Bible says that 3,000 people were baptized and added to the church that day. That is the baptism of fire, not of water on that day. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I bet your bottom dollar Peter was speaking before that, but on that day, 3,000 people added to the church. You can find that in Acts 2:41. See, the Bible has given us the entire New Testament sharing with us about the things of God and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes in the church, we can kind of clam up when we don't understand things. And so we'll just tell ourselves a story and the devil's pretty, you know, right there just to piggyback on that. Oh, it's not real. Oh, it's not for today. Oh, it was for then. We've got to read our scriptures. I don't find that theology in the Bible. And here's the thing, you know, you might, a lot of people kind of get hung up in this verse. They're like, well, and you know, in Corinth, they weren't allowed to speak and preach in tongues. They were told to be quiet in the church. But that's not actually what the Bible says. You got to read the whole verse. It says this in 1 Corinthians 14, 27 through 28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or more, at the most three each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. What is the Bible saying? They were talking about all the different spiritual gifts that they have. And if someone was to come up here and just minister to you by speaking in tongues, it will not help you very much because it's a language you do not understand. And so the teaching is, no, don't do that. The people are there ready to listen, to be ministered to. Instead, if there's no interpreter, then begin to use that prayer language between you and God. Begin to build yourself up in the most holy faith, the Bible says. And if you're still wondering, well, why should I do that, Stacy? Why should I speak in a language unknown to me but known to God? Because the Bible says that he will intercede on our behalf and pray the perfect will of God over our lives. I don't know about you, but when I go to pray, I'm not always thinking about the perfect prayer. In fact, sometimes I don't know what to say. In fact, sometimes I want to pray in faith, but fear comes out. But when I pray in the Spirit of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray the perfect will of God over my life, that his will would be done. And just to prove the point, here's the Bible verse. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. How many people been there? But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Why is that important? Because a couple months ago, I was right here in a service just like this, and a girl and her friend came forward for prayer. And she wound up getting saved that day and was brought into that place called the Response Lounge. And I happened to walk in there and began to pray with them. And then her friend began to tell me a story, and she began to say, you know, I've been believing... or I've wanted to believe, to have a child, and I've been trying for 2 years, my husband and I, and we haven't been able to have a child. She goes, but is it true? Could I believe for a miracle? And I'm telling you, because I've been filled up with the Holy Ghost, because I understand that miracles can happen today, I got to stand before her and look her in the face and say, yes, sweetheart. In fact, let's believe together. And we prayed that day. And you know what? You know, couldn't tell, obviously, in that situation. But I'm telling you this, a couple months later, she came right up to hear where I was standing. She goes, oh my gosh, Stacy, I have to tell you. I just talked to my friend, and she's pregnant. And she goes, she knows that it was after that prayer where she began to believe in the miraculous. Church, this matters so much. Because not only do we get our own liberation and freedom, but we get to be the conduit to bring the Holy Spirit to others. I could teach on this all day long, but we don't have any time, so I'm going to ask everybody to stand up on their feet. I want us to all close our eyes and just lift our hands to heaven. Lifting our hands to heaven is just a sign of surrender to God. So if you're in this place this morning and you're saying, you know what? I want to surrender to this great God. I want to give him my whole life. I want to recognize the Father, God, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer to receive and to acknowledge and to activate the gifts that are on the inside of us. And then I'm going to ask the ministry team to come forward. And I'm telling you, if you want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, if you're like, Stacy, I don't even know half of what you talked about, but I want what you talked about, come forward. And our ministers are going to lead you to the point of breakthrough. If you're in this place and you're making a decision for the first time to receive of Jesus, then you also will come forward and I'll have someone minister to you. But right now in this place, can we do this morning? Church, can we declare, can we receive the fullness of God today? I'm going to lead us all in a prayer, so just repeat after me. I receive you, Father God, Jesus who died for me and resurrected for me. And I receive and I recognize and I activate the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I receive the fullness of your grace, O God, and I will minister powerfully as you lead me. I receive you. In your name we pray. Let's give a big shout and a big glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. He is good. He is good. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Come on, let's hear it. Let's bust the roof off this place. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come forward right now and just begin to come out of your seat if you want prayer for anything that you are facing. If you want a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost, if you want to receive the gifts that I was talking about, even speaking in a language not known to you but known to God, I am telling you, church, never be afraid of the altar. It's where our lives are altered. And I don't care if you've done this one time, 1,000 times. Take hold of your moments. Receive that fresh touch from God. And I even believe that there are some people here that were facing some decisions, and you need prayer to have the fortitude to believe in what God has spoken to you. And before I forget, I had a word for Brenda and your family. Actually, this doesn't happen to me very often, but I actually woke up this morning with a word for you and your family. So you just hold hands, you guys. Thank you, Jesus. I felt God begin to speak to me just a little bit about you guys, and I don't know you, you know, all that well, but I felt God say today that to be bold and to be courageous, for your God is with you. And I felt that you guys have, and I don't know stories, but I just felt that God wants you to know that your strength is in him and that you don't need to cling or just try harder or just be better. All you need to do is release the Spirit of God that is on the inside of you and you will conquer the mountains. You will gain the victories. And I just see a whole series of miracles that are about to take place in your life and in your world as you put your strength, as you put your lives in God's most magnificent hands. And I just heard him say, be bold and be courageous. This might feel uncomfortable. It might be different to your history and to your past, but God's got you right where he wants you. And he's got a beautiful plan for your life. And it is one that you are gonna marvel in the years to come. You are gonna look back and you're gonna go, how did that happen? And I'll tell you this, it will not be by your hand, but by his. Come on, let's give God a round of applause. He's a good God.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.